Well, good evening, everyone. Are you sung out yet? got some breath left for a few more favourites. We're not using a particular Bible passage tonight, but all the verses we'll be using tonight are on this sheet. The name of our hymn book is Great Hymns of the Faith. And so when we started doing these hymn sings some time ago, I decided to do a series of messages called Great Themes of the Faith. And I've been working through some of these themes here in the front of the hymn book. And the one I've chosen for tonight is comfort and peace, or is it peace and comfort in the hymn book. Tonight we're going to look at comfort. Lord willing, we'll have another time sometime to look at peace. That would be very good to look at too. Great Themes of the Faith. The title this evening is Peace and Comfort. Job chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Man is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upward." And we've just heard of one example of that. No person on earth ever avoids trouble. And it's certainly true that no Christian ever avoids trouble. In fact, as Christians, we often get a double dose of that good medicine called trouble. God likes to give us that good medicine of trouble because, firstly, God is keen to develop faithfulness in every one of his children. So if we're bearing fruit, he only wants us to bear more fruit. We read in John 15 and verse 2, "Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, and the pruning's painful, that it may bear more fruit." It's not because they've done something wrong, it's because they're already bearing fruit. So God is faithful to develop fruit in his children. Secondly, God as a good father is especially keen to discipline those children who he loves. We see in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." And the third reason that Christians will get a double dose of trouble is because Christians are going to be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." It may not be a threat of life or physical harm, but there will be rejection, there will be fun made of Christians, and there will be ridicule. So, since trouble is inevitable, how do we find comfort in those times of trouble? It's not only the Bible that documents trouble and how to find help in times of trouble. We find that the Christians down through the centuries have experienced similar troubles, and they have documented trouble and how to find help in times of trouble in the great hymns of the faith. Consider phrases like these that are beautifully shaped in that forge of trouble. "No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. For your endless mercy follows me, and your goodness will lead me home. Hope that lifts me from despair, love that casts out every fear, as I stand on every promise of your word. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God. He gives me grace for every trial and feeds me with the living bread. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Like a river glorious, it's God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its great increase. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest, closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast." It's good to take our hymn book and read through them during those times of trouble and find the comfort there that other Christians have found. As the saints were comforted in the past, we too can be comforted tonight. The scriptures clearly teach four sources of comfort for the Christian. The first source of comfort for the Christian is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's one source of comfort, not three. The Father is called the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." It's cost one thing to know that God is the God of comfort. It's another thing for us to be able to sense his comfort in the daily trials. So we pray to experience his comfort, don't we? And that's what we read in Psalm 119. "Let, I pray, Your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word, to your servant. Yes, and David was talking about his own experience of comfort when he wrote in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." It is God that comforts him. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod and the staff are just aspects of God's character, his protection, his care, his guidance. To know that God is there is a comfort. Also, Jesus' ministry would be a ministry of comfort, as it was prophesied in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah, speaking of Jesus the Messiah, said in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for they, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And that would come all through the ministry of Messiah. Yes, and we know full well that what was prophesied of him was true. For Paul records in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work." So there we see Father and Son mentioned together in regard to comfort. So when the Father is working in regard to comfort, the Son is also working. And so is the Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter. We read of him in Acts 9:31. "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified, and were walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit they were multiplied." Frances Ridley Havergal came to Christ as a teenager. In her 30s, she wrote, "Writing is praying for me." She's talking about writing the hymns. "I never seem to write even a verse by myself. I feel like a child writing," she says. "You know what a you know how a child would look up to its parents at every sentence and say, 'And what shall I say next?' And what shall I say next? That is just what I do," she says. "I ask that at every line he would give me, not merely the thoughts and power, but also every word, even the rhymes. Very often I've had a most distinct and happy consciousness of direct answers." Frances was normally joyful, but her biographer records she also knew depression, doubt and gloom. After these times passed on, she again found joy in spiritual things. She drew on the lessons she'd learned in the dark and difficult places, refreshing other weary and thirsty ones with her words of sympathy and understanding. Because she'd been there and experienced God's peace and his comfort, she could talk about it. Words like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase, perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day, perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Did you hear the secret in those scriptures and from the words of Frances Ridley Havergal? Those words in her chorus, stayed upon Jehovah, focused on Christ, depending on the Spirit. It's when we deliberately turn from the troubles of life and recognize nothing can separate me from the love of God. The Lord has proven his love for me in that Jesus died for me on the cross. He's too good to be unkind. He's too wise to make mistakes. He remains in control and he has good plans for me. It's when we recognize these truths about God that we're able to find his comfort. Yes, he is the God of all comfort, and we experience it as we set our minds on things above and not on the things of the earth. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. The second source of comfort for the Christian is the scriptures. We read in Psalm 119 and verse 50, "This is my comfort in all my affliction, for your word has given me life." God's word leads us from darkness to light, from doubt to faith, from error to truth, from death to life, from hurt to healing. In fact, comfort is one of the very purposes of the scripture. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And in fact, Paul commands us to find comfort in the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. What words? These words that he's just written as scripture. Find comfort, he commands us in the scripture. Sadly, we don't always find the comfort that we desire from the scriptures. And David himself wrote in Psalm 119, my eyes fall, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? So when David writes, when will you comfort me? He obviously was searching for comfort. And it probably means, when will this trial end? But David at that time did not seem to be able to find the comfort of God. He missed the comfort in the trial because he was looking for comfort at the end of the trial. He was looking for the promises that promised the end rather than the promises that talked about God's comfort in the trial. Promises like Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. In Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Like Francis Ridley Havergal, Stuart Townend was the son of a British pastor. And like Francis, he was saved in his teens. His website says that he deliberately chooses to write songs about, not just for Sundays, but that can be carried over in the week and lived out in everyday life. Prominent among these is From the Breaking of the Dawn. It begins, from the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun. This is daily, every day. I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power, strong to save, that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. And the song ends, hope that lifts me from despair, love that casts out every fear, as I stand on every promise of your word, not forsaken, not alone, for the Comforter has come, and I stand on every promise of your word. So there is the comfort of the Comforter, and there is the comfort of the word of God, so that in the child of God there can be a depth of comfort. But to make this real, we have to know the word of God well. We need to know God well through knowing his word well. I was listening to an MP3 this afternoon, and I scribbled down, we experience his comfort to the extent we're convinced of the truth of Scripture. We need to know the Scriptures well, like Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Like Psalm 103 verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. That gives an assurance that God is in control of the very worst circumstances of our life. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always may have, in all circumstances, may have an abundance for every good work. I think I paraphrased that there. Nolan and I have been learning Psalm 145, and it's been a blessing to us as we've been learning it. It's called A Praise of David in the heading. And it begins, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I'll bless your name forever, ever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I'll praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. So when you start to dwell on God like that and think of that, think about who he is and what he means in our lives, then we will find his comfort. Such knowledge brings comfort. A third source of comfort for the Christian is very surprising. And it's this, discipline. Yes, discipline brings comfort because the sequence is we sin, God disciplines us, we confess our sin, and then he comforts us. This is powerfully illustrated in the life of Israel. some of the most beautiful words of comfort come after Israel's discipline. For example, we read in Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day you'll say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you comfort me. Isaiah 40, comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, their iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So after the discipline comes God's comfort of Israel, and that applies in our lives too. This reminds us that full comfort is still future for Israel and still future for us because God is still dealing with sin on earth. Of the future, Isaiah 51 says, For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make a wilderness like Eden and a heart like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And Isaiah 66, For thus says the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. By the way, this principle of comfort following discipline should be employed in our homes when we discipline our children. Yes, they may need a spank. We still believe in biblical spanking in our day. Not abuse, of course, but we believe in spanking. And after the spanking, the child is contrite and he's broken, and we comfort him, we bring him and assure him of our love for him. And it's also true in church discipline too. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7 says of the immoral man, So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. So there is going to be ultimate comfort in the millennium, and then even beyond that in heaven itself. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. The best is yet to come. Yes, we can find comfort from God right now. Yes, we can find comfort in the scriptures and in the comforter, but the best is still yet. The ultimate comfort is yet to come. Katharina von Schlegel wrote, Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on when we shall forever be with the Lord. Isn't that a great hope for us? When disappointment, grief and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul. When change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. So we have this hope of ultimate comfort in heaven. When the churches in the 1700s had grown old in the country of Germany, Philip Spinner led a revival referred to as the Pietistic Revival. And out of that time of revival came many hymns. It was a time of hymn writing, genuine, with depth of experience and faithfulness to the scriptures. And Katharina was among those who wrote at that time. 100 years later, hymn was translated in English for us to enjoy. And the music called Finlandia depicts both the grandeur of Finland and also the grandeur of the Creator of the beauty of Finland. I'm so encouraged to know that the troubles of life have been shared in every age. We can read about the troubles as we listen to the hymn writers and what they've been through and the way that they found comfort. In Psalm 42, the psalmist gave himself a sermon. This is one way to find comfort. Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Sometimes we need to have a good talk to ourselves and remind ourselves of the truths of God. And in the 1700s, Katharina did the same thing in the hymn I've already quoted, saying, Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Remember the truths of the scripture as you talk to yourself. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Not every trial that comes our way is discipline. Certainly not. Some of it is pruning. Some of it is persecution from the world. But if we are being disciplined of God, then comes the comfort. Through confession and restoration, God will comfort us. The last source of comfort for the Christian is no surprise at all. It's the brethren. our brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, we find comfort from each other. And this is very commonly mentioned in Scripture. It's probably the most common source of comfort mentioned in the Scripture. Well, we remember Job's friends came to comfort him. They didn't do so well, did they? We hope that we can do a bit better than Job's friends did. First, we note that God comforts us so that we know how to comfort others. It does not mean that we have to have gone through exactly the same trial as someone else to be able to help them. It just means that we need to have gone through some trial to know how God comforts us. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4 says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Thus Paul, we read commonly in the Scriptures about Paul giving comfort to brothers and sisters in Christ and the churches. And others were able to give comfort to Paul also. In fact, we're commanded to comfort each other. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing also." And we have to especially comfort those who are faint-hearted, those who might get easily discouraged. We want to comfort those kind of brothers and sisters. Verse 14 of the same chapter says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Like two of the other hymn writers that I've mentioned this evening, a bloke by the name of Richard Gillard was also born in England. It was only Katharina that was born in Germany. His family immigrated to New Zealand when he was 3 years old, and he wrote the Servant Song in 1977 as a young adult after a trip to England and Israel. He had no formal music training but came to love the folk style of music. In the song he says, "In the night time of your fear, I will hold my hand out to you. Speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through." So that song, as well as any I know, helps us to know how to help each other, to comfort each other in sorrow, weeping with, sharing sorrow, and speaking the words of comfort. Let's commit ourselves to do that with each other, to be a comfort to each other. But one last shock before I close. We might suppose comfort is something that we could passively receive from God and those around us. But actually, the Scripture tells us quite the opposite. Comfort is something that we should actually pursue. Don't wait for comfort to come to you. Seek comfort like lost money. Look for it hard. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Be of good comfort, brother and sister. There's comfort in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's comfort in the Scriptures. And there is comfort for your brothers and sisters, because we've been through the same trials in the world.